Hello everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday webinar on navigating Microsoft Teams with screen readers. Before I introduce the presenters, can I remind you, if you need to get in touch with us, please do so through the Q&A panel or by emailing msteams@sightandsound.co.uk. Now let me introduce the presenters. We have Eric Damery and Jan Bloom from Visbiro. Oren O'Neill from RTE, Ireland's public service broadcaster, and Stuart Lawler and myself, James Everson, from Sight and Sound Technology. Sorry about that, I'm going to hand you over to Eric. Unfortunately, Eric could not be with us today, but has sent this message. Over to Eric.
We're a group of people, and like most, that have used Skype over the years to communicate with each other, and we've obviously been using Zoom quite a bit to do presentations and so forth, but Teams really lends itself to organizations and groups of people who are going to interact and share with each other. And for those who haven't used it yet, there's an app and there's a web version of this, and the app is what I'm going to talk about because that's the way I use it today. And currently I'm in a team with within our organization, and all of the developers are in that team with us, so we have hold all of our meetings this way. And the nice thing is that as you get into it and join the meeting, the files that are stored within SharePoint and are all accessed from within the team itself, so that everybody can have access to look at the file, to edit the file, to save the file, and you can chat with each other and so forth. It all works quite well, I think, in principle, and I think Microsoft is going to be wildly successful with this app. I will say that it can be a little clunky getting around, as you and others will all discover. The keyboard navigation of it, while it's accessible, isn't necessarily user-friendly. And this was kind of, just not to digress too much away from Teams, but I will say that we were always very concerned in the past about once they took control of us being able to really script and change the way an application behaves to make it user-friendly. Once that came away from us and it was in the hands of the application developer, in this case Microsoft, we don't really have too much opportunity to change things. So, for instance, the hang-up button when you're on a call and talking with somebody, there is no keyboard shortcut to get to the hang-up button, which is a really terrible user experience, and how they would have ever missed that is beyond many of us, and we've been telling people about it for a long time, so I'm sure they'll get one associated with the hang-up eventually, so you should just be able to have a keystroke to get out of it. Alternatively, you have to tab around to get to that hang-up button, find it, and then spacebar. The other way to get out, of course, is to just Alt-F4 out of Teams, and that'll take you out real quick. But Teams is one of those things you want to kind of always have running on your machine, so it'd be nice to have it the other way. We've done a few things, and we're going to continue to make other changes. So, for an example, the command to get to what the keystrokes are that Microsoft provides in order to function is control and period, or control full stop, and that brings up a applet window or an on top dialog box, sort of. And that dialog box did not navigate very well using PC Focus, and we found it to be much better to navigate that virtually because you're in a kind of a table, and so we automatically in the background turn on virtual cursor when you land on that window, and then you can just navigate as you would in a table. You can insert space T for table navigation and just use the arrow keys to get around inside that window fairly well to be able to study and learn the keystrokes. And they're laid out in two columns, so it's a little tricky. And so understanding that you're in a table and having those navigational keystrokes helps. And there are other places within Teams that sometimes it is useful putting on virtual cursor in the chat area, for instance. I personally like to navigate with the virtual cursor in the chat area. I move by headings to take me to the different messages. And I think that works pretty well, but you can also get around quite well with the PC focus, as it's called. So in general, we really do like Teams. This is going to be a winner. I can tell you right now that in our United States, big companies, federal government agencies are all looking to get into this. They're coming away from Skype for Business, and Teams appears to be where people are going to land. So I think it really behooves people to start to get a handle on this and give feedback. I think it's wonderful that you guys at Sight and Sound are spending so much time and energy really promoting the use of it and showing how this works and so forth. So I think this is great. And with that, I'll throw it back to you, James.
Thanks, Eric. Right, can I just remind everybody that if you want to reach out with a question, please do so through the Q&A panel or by emailing msteams@sightandsound.co.uk. Now, over to you, Stuart, who's now going to be talking about creating a team.
Okay, so I'm going to start today by talking about creating a team in Microsoft Teams, because that's probably the first thing you want to do, create a team and invite people to that team so you can collaborate together. Now, for this portion of the session, you're not going to see any video. That's because I'm using my iPhone to do this piece, and we'll talk about why I'm using my iPhone in just a second. I wasn't able to get any kind of screen mirroring to work, but you will hear voiceover, and I will talk you through each part of the process. So why am I using my iPhone? It's fair to say that Teams has lots of accessibility, as you'll find out as we go through the session today. But there are definitely some things that it is easier to do on the mobile platform, and creating a team is one such thing. So I'm going to take my iPhone here. I have it in my hand, and I'm going to turn on my speech, and I'm going to go to my Microsoft Teams application.
Page Sight and Sound Related folder.
And it's in a folder called Sight and Sound Related because it's a sort of a work-ish app. So let me go into the folder. And there's the Microsoft Teams app. It's already telling me I have some new items because there are notifications or chats that I need to look at, but we'll do that later. So I'll double tap.
Teams. More menu.
Now, the Teams app has a number of tabs. These can be customized depending on what you want to use in it. So mine will very likely look different to yours. But if I put my finger at the bottom of the screen here.
Chat, activity, selected, shifts, tab, one of five.
The first option in mine is the shifts tab. That's because I use a little application on Teams that allows me to sign in and out when I'm working so that I can keep track and record the hours that I work. If I flick right,
activity tab.
This is the activity tab, and this is where you'll see all the latest notifications relating to your goings on or activity on Teams.
Chat, five unread items.
This is the chat option, and as you'll see, there are some unread items here.
Teams tab, four of five.
And we're going to go to the Teams area, but just before we do that,
more tab, five of five.
More is where you can go into open what's called the drawer, the navigation drawer, and modify the layout of these tabs, and indeed add or remove tabs. So the app is very flexible, and I should also say the app is being updated regularly. But let's go back to Teams and double tap it.
Teams tab, four of five.
And I'm now going to go to the top of the screen, put my finger at the top left of the screen.
Everyone team collapse button.
So I'm now seeing a list of the teams to which I belong. And there are a number of teams, a number of areas of the business and indeed outside of the business where I am participating in different teams doing different things. That's the beauty of Microsoft Teams. But I'm going to swipe left.
See all teams button.
I don't want to do that.
Join or create a team button.
Join or create a team. That's what I want. So I'm going to double tap.
Menu. Create a team button.
That's what I want. I want to create a team.
Text field. Is it team name? Heading. Heading. Description. Team name. Heading.
So I'm on the team name.
Heading. Text field. Is editing.
The
numbers and spaces are allowed. Character mode.
This is a little bit funny because it says team name and then there's a little, you have to swipe again to get to the edit box. So just for speediness, I'm going to use dictation here rather than trying to struggle and type on the touchscreen. So I'm going to call this Stuart's Project Team.
Inserted Stuart's Project Team.
Brilliant.
Description. Optional.
The description is optional, so we won't put a description in.
This will help people find your team. Heading. Text
okay,
field.
I don't really need people to find it at the moment.
Privacy. Private and discoverable. Button.
So there's an option in here. Let me just double tap this and we'll have a look at what happens here.
Private. Selected.
So my team is either private, which means
public.
If the team is private, people can't see it and only I can invite people to join.
Public. Not selected.
And if it's public, it can be seen within my organization by anyone who has a Teams account.
Private. Only team owners can add members.
So I'm going to leave it as private.
Create team. Back button.
I'll go back.
Create team. Team name. Store. Descript. This will help. Privacy. Privacy. Private. Team name. Edit.
And I'm just going to go back to the top of the screen here.
Team name. Done. Button.
And press the done button.
Done. Team name, heading, privacy, private, add, search field is editing.
So
name or email.
The team has now been added and it's now asking me to add members. It wants me to add people to this team. So from here, I can just start typing a name of a person who might be in my organization or an email address of somebody outside my organization if I want to add them. And of course, it will also pick up names from your iPhone's contacts if you want. I can add as many people as I want. They will get a notification. And once I do that, those people are now members of my newly created team. So now I'm going to show you how to schedule a meeting using Microsoft Teams and Microsoft Outlook. Now, the easiest way to schedule or set up a meeting with Microsoft Teams is actually to use the Microsoft Outlook calendar. So I'm going to navigate to Outlook.
Zoom, inbox, Stuart, Lawler, Site and Sound Technology, Outlook.
Here I am in my Outlook calendar and I'm going to go to my folder list with Control and Y.
Go to folder.
And go to the calendar.
Calendar.
Now from here, I can either start creating a new event right away and select the date, but actually I want to schedule a meeting for this coming Friday, the 17th of July. So I'm just going to arrow over to the 17th.
Thursday, Friday, 17 July 2020.
And I'm going to press Control and N.
Untitled appointment.
And now I'm going to press the Alt key to bring me to the ribbon.
Upper ribbon.
And I'm going to tab a few times.
Leaving forwards Skype meeting button.
So it's not a Skype meeting.
Teams meeting button.
There we go. That's what I want. So I'm telling Outlook that this is a Microsoft Teams meeting. I'll hit the space bar here.
Leaving menus. Leaving ribbons. Untitled meeting. Title edit. Hotel. Title edit.
So what's
hotel.
The title of the meeting? It's called catch-up meeting.
Catch-up meeting, required edit.
And I've pressed the tab key and then I'm asked who is required, who needs to attend this meeting. Well, I'm going to invite my colleague Carl Braley to the meeting. So I'm going to start typing Carl's name. And Outlook gives a little few sounds, but we can verify that Carl's here by pressing the left arrow.
Space, semi, Carl Braley.
That's what I want. I could enter more people, of course, if I wish.
Optional edit.
Don't need any people. Optional.
Start date edit. Friday 17/07/2020.
And here's the start date. And
date picker.
I want to start this at
start time edit
10 o'clock in the morning. So I've typed in 10 a.m.
Time zone from Dublin. Date picker. End time edit 10:30.
And it's going to end at 10:30. That's fine.
All day check.
Now I'm going to tab over to the meeting notes.
Make recur location. Room 5. Edit.
And in the meeting notes screen, there will be a link to the meeting in Microsoft Teams, but there's also a link at the bottom of this screen that I want to access, because there's an option here called Meeting Options, and I'm going to make a couple of changes to the configuration of this meeting before I send the invite to Carl. So let's have a look for this link.
Blank. Link local numbers, link reset pin, link learn more about Teams, link meeting options.
So it's the very last link here that link says meeting options. I'm going to press Shift and F10.
Meeting options.
And I'm going to open this link.
Context, leaving, copy, remove hyperlink, font, copy, edit hyper. Leaving menus, paste up, menu, copy, cut, who is, synonym, smart, paragraph, font, remove, copy, open hyperlink, oh.
There we go, we'll open the hyperlink.
Leaving menus.
And this is going to open in my default browser, which is Edge. And I'm going to tab.
Loading finish.
I'm going to tab through the controls here.
Who can come, main, who can present, and always let callers, who can bypass the lobby, people in my organization button menu.
Okay, so this option says who can bypass the lobby. The lobby is where you are essentially put in a waiting room when you arrive at a Teams meeting. So who's going to be able to bypass the lobby? Well, in this instance, actually, Carl is within my organization. So it's already set that people in my organization can bypass the lobby. But if Carl wasn't in my organization and I didn't want people to have to wait in the lobby, I would press the space bar here.
Who can bypass the lobby? List box people in my organization.
And there are
three of three.
There are different options here.
Everyone.
And I'll set that to
new everyone. Who can bypass?
And I'll tab again.
Always let callers bypass the lobby checkbox checked unavailable.
That option is ticked, but it's unavailable because I have already selected that everyone can bypass the lobby.
Announce when callers join or leave checkbox checked.
So I'll get an audible announcement when callers join or leave a meeting.
Who can present? Who can present? Everyone button menu.
And this is an option that says who can present. In other words, who can share their screen. Well, in this instance, I don't actually want Carl to present. I just want to be able to show him some documents, but he doesn't need to be able to show me anything. So I'm going to hit the space bar.
Who can people in my organ? Specific people. Only me.
Only me.
Who can present? Only me button menu. Save button.
And I'll save my meeting settings.
Done.
And I'll close my browser.
Catch up meeting.
And
edit.
I'll press Alt and S to send this to Carl.
Calendar stew.
And then he will be able to
meeting
see that
controls.
Meeting in Microsoft Teams. And finally, with my little slot on this webinar, I'm going to show you how to make one-to-one calls using Microsoft Teams. Now, one of the more basic features, but no less important, I think, in Microsoft Teams is the ability to just call someone. Sometimes it's often quicker, isn't it, just to have that chat, that quick conversation, rather than maybe sending lots and lots of emails or lots and lots of messages. Well, the calling feature in Teams is not unlike that you might have found, that you might still find in programs like Skype. And I'm going to show you how that works now. So let's go to Microsoft Teams.
Jaws Professional Meet Zoom Calendar Microsoft Teams.
And I'm currently in the calendar. I need to get to the calls screen, which I will do using the shortcut key in Teams, Control with number 5. So let me press that now.
Calls Microsoft Teams main window page. Calls list navigation region list speed dial tab selected 1 of 4.
There are 4 tabs in the calls component of Teams. The first is the speed dial tabs, and you can think of this as your a bit like your favorites. So you might put people in here that you call regularly. Maybe it's colleagues in the same team as you. Maybe it's your boss, or maybe it's other people from other organizations with whom you're collaborating. If we press the down arrow.
Contacts tab. 2 of 4.
This is the contacts. So this is where you can call anybody who's in your contacts, be it your internal corporate contacts or your own global contact list. Assuming, of course, that that person is already set up on and signed into Microsoft Teams.
History tab, 3 of 4.
This is the history tab, which is where you'll get your recent calls. We'll actually come back to that in just a second.
Voicemail tab, 4 of 4.
And the voicemail area, which is where you can find messages that were left for you if someone tried to call you and they couldn't get you. So if you weren't signed into Teams, for example, and someone calls you, they will get an automated voice message. You can't customize it yourself, and I think that would be kind of interesting if you could, but at the moment you get a synthesized voice telling you that the person is unavailable, and you can leave a message, and then those messages can be played from the voicemail area. So let's go up to the history area, rather.
History tab.
And press 3 of 4 key. And
selected main region calls history table 0 seconds call with Stuart Lillard.
So there you go. I'm so sad I tried to call myself and it was for 0 seconds. I'm now in my list of recent calls, and I'm going to call my good friend Oren, who is actually presenting here very shortly. So we better make it a quick call because he's probably getting ready. Let's go down arrow through my calls list, because I know I called Oren very recently. I think I called him last week sometime.
10 minutes, 5 seconds, call with Oren O'Neill, guest at Friday, 12:02.
I called him last Friday. Okay, well, let's give him a ring again. I'm sure he won't mind having a quick chat with us. I know he's preparing, but I'm sure he won't mind a quick call.
So call with Oren O'Neill, guest.
And now it's ringing. It's dialing Oren. And we're waiting for him to pick up his phone. When he does, the phone sound will stop.
Connected,
and
connected.
Jaws has said connected. Hi, Oren.
Hi, Stuart.
How are you?
Good, long time no see.
Long time no see indeed. We will make this call quick because I know you're going to be presenting in a few minutes and you're probably preparing.
Yeah, I need to get ready.
I know, I'm sorry, but thanks for taking the call. How do you find Teams calling in general? Is it useful for you?
Yeah, I think it's very useful. It's great just to be able to pick somebody in my contacts and just call them immediately. And I really like it, actually. I think the quality is very good. The audio quality is very good as well.
Quality is unbelievable. So you're sitting beside me, even though you're not.
Yeah.
So just while we have Oren on the call, let's just tab through this dialogue that we now have the calling screen.
Turn camera on button.
So I could turn my camera on. I won't do that. But if Oren and I wished to use some video calling, we could do that at this point.
Mute button.
But I look fantastic anyway. Sure.
Well, I absolutely wouldn't doubt that for a moment. I can mute myself if I wish.
Open sharing options button.
And I can open the sharing options, which will also allow me, if I wanted, to share my screen and share my audio with Oren. So if Oren and I were working on something together and Oren wanted to hear my screen reader, then this would allow me to do it.
More actions button.
And there are some more actions where I can, for example, put Oren on hold and I can we can start a chat, or I can also add other people to the call.
Show conversation button.
There's the show conversation shortcut is also here without going into the more actions.
Show participants button.
And as is the participants area where I can add people.
Hang up button.
And this is the hang up button. This is one of the areas in Teams, Oren, where there isn't a shortcut, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they seem to have missed that one out.
Oh, unfortunately.
Hopefully they'll put it in someday.
Hopefully they will. Okay, listen, I know you need to get ready. So thank you for taking the call. I'm going to press the hang up button and we'll talk to you again in a few minutes.
Okay, see you soon.
Thanks, Oren. Bye.
Bye.
Alert, profile picture of Oren.
So there we go.
Call quality feedback.
Hanged up? My goodness, my grammar is terrible. I've just hung up the call. And then we get a little audio, a little feedback piece if we want to. Very similar to what Skype does, where you can rate the quality of your call. But as Oren said, I couldn't agree with him more, the quality of the calls in Microsoft Teams are absolutely perfect. So just before I hand over to Oren, I just want to very briefly mention, before I give you the contact details again, just to flag very briefly about next week's Webinar Wednesday event. So as you know, we hold these events every week, every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Next week, if you're a user of the BrailleSense Polaris or you're interested in the BrailleSense Polaris, you might find the session to be of value, because we'll be having our guests and our friends from Natick Technology from the UAE, and they have just published an app called Motweet,
which is an accessible Twitter app for the Polaris. So they're going to be joining us next Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. on Webinar Wednesday. If you want the information, please get in touch. And speaking of getting in touch, it's msteams@sightandsound.co.uk is the email address, msteams@sightandsound.co.uk. If you have any comments today or questions, and we will get to your Q&A, or to your questions rather, or you can enter your questions in the Q&A pane using Microsoft Teams. And now I hope he's ready after that call. It was lovely to chat to him, but let's hand over to Oren.
Thank you very much, Stuart. I'm just going to take a moment until I just share my screen. I'm just going to include my audio so you can hear JAWS, and then I'm going to share desktop. Hopefully you're seeing my screen now and you're hearing JAWS. Can I just confirm that with James? Are you hearing and seeing my screen?
Yes, we are.
Lovely. Excellent. Thank you very much and good afternoon, everyone. That was a really insightful piece that Stuart gave us. So I'm going to talk to you today about the areas that I use most within Teams in work. I work for the public service broadcaster here in Ireland, RTE, and I've been using Teams for about 18 months, 2 years. And we were an early adopter to Microsoft Teams, and I think it's a great product. I use it all the time. I'm probably about involved in about 12 or 13 teams in work. Mainly I use it to chat, to send messages to my own team of dubbing mixers. Those guys are sound mixers in post-production audio. So if we make any changes, if bookings need to be changed on a day-to-day basis, I can send them a message just to let them know what's coming up for them tomorrow or even later on that evening. And it's a very fast method of sharing information with the guys. So we're gonna I'm just gonna make sure I'm in Teams.
JAWS Professional to move to an item pressing. Webinar Wednesday, colon, navigate in Microsoft Teams with screen readers, left bar, meeting, right bar, and vertical bar, Microsoft Teams, to move to an item pressed.
So I'm in Microsoft Teams, and
Control 1, Teams selected.
I'm just going to bring you through very, very quickly through some of the tabs. You can navigate, there are about six tabs or views within Microsoft Teams, and you can navigate to each tab by using the control key and the number row above the home row of keys. So you press Control 1 to 6 depending on what you want to see. Now sometimes it can be 4 tabs or 6 tabs. It just depends on what way your organization has set it up. For this purposes of today, I'm in as a guest into the Sight and Sound team. So I only have 4 tabs. Activity tab, a chat tab, a Teams tab, and files tab. So the easiest way to navigate, as I said, is to use the control key and one of the numbers. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to send a message to Stuart. I'm going to send him a private chat, and I'm going to go to the chat area within Teams. So I'm going to press Control 2.
Control 2. Stuart Lawler, vertical bar, Microsoft Teams, main window page, chat list navigation region, chat list preview, chat, Stuart Lawler, in a meeting, last message from you, colon, hi Stuart, how is it going, loudly cried.
So you can hear the chat area is kind of what I would consider to be the kind of private area within Teams. And this is where you can have private chats with individuals or groups, but any message that you write within this chat area is only seen by that particular person that you're mentioning. So what I'll do is I'll navigate to the main chat area.
Region, change settings, button to activate, press space bar.
And I will
close button to activate, press space.
What I'm going to do, because I like switching on the virtual navigation. So I'm going to press Control Z.
on.
To switch on navigation, and then I'm just going to press Control E, which is one of the
Control E search region combo box,
which is one of the most common keys you'll use within Teams, and that brings us into a search box where we can find people, or we can find files, or we can find different channels, and I'll talk about that a little later on. But I'm going to just tab on forward to that.
Signed into siteandsound.co.uk. Click the change.
And it tells me that I'm signed into the siteandsound.co.uk team. I'm going to press the E key.
Type a new message, editing, edit.
And you'll hear it says, type a new message, editing, edit. So I'm going to just, first of all, I'm just going to mention Stuart by hitting the at key.
Activity tab.
Should have been that, sorry.
Video call button to activate.
Let me just try that again.
Type a new message, editing, edit. Activity tab. Chat tab. Activity tab, 202 to activate.
One second, my keyboard seems to be
at.
There we go. At Stuart.
S-T.
So we should be.
Sorry,
folks. Just
video call button to activate. Present.
Just wanna
type a new message. Edit, edit.
Now, so I will. We're sorry. I should have said within the chat. I heard that the latest chat that I've had is with Stuart. So I know that if I go into this edit box, that I'm going to just send this chat to Stuart. So I'm just going to say,
"Hi Stuart, wrapping the top activity toolbar top bar, use up or down arrow keys to navigate."
Keyword again is acting up.
The calling progress. Calling webinar Wednesday. Calling that type of new message. Editing edit. Enter. Stuart Lawler chat content main.
Yeah.
Hi
Stuart.
U-A-R-T, Stuart, A-O-P-E-O-A-L-L-O-I-S, double E-L-L, well, his name.
And he knows it's going to be from me, so I'm just not even going to sign off. I'm just going to hit the tab key again.
Menu, actions, menu, format, press enter to expand.
And we can format the text if we want. I'm going to show you this once we go into Teams, how to, all about this. But just for the moment, I'm going to send this chat to Stuart as a private message.
Send button.
So there's the send button. I just tabbed down to it. You could use the B button for buttons. And I'm just going to hit enter.
Enter, leaving menus, type a new message, editing, edit, type of text, sending, dot, dot, dot.
So you hear Jaws saying it's sent or sending, and then it has sent. So that message has gone to Stuart. So maybe we'll come back to him later on and see has he replied to my message, if he's not too busy.
Control three. General left parity.
So what I'm going to do now is I've gone into the most used area I use every day, which is called the main Teams area. And within this area, we have kind of the screen is kind of split up into three. We have a horizontal area, a vertical area to the left-hand side, and then a main kind of content area. And you usually land in the main content area. But if I just tab around, I'll just show you what items you might hear.
Filter left there, control plus shift plus F.
Filter, we won't worry about too much.
Calling progress, calling webinar Wednesday, calling.
So there's, we know we're in this general channel of Microsoft Teams, and there's a call in progress. What I'm going to do here, though, is I'm going to go to a different channel, and I'm going to send another message to my friend Jan, who's going to be talking about the files area in the next section. So again, I prefer to do it this way with the virtual cursor on, because I think it's an easy way to navigate around. I'm going to press Control E again.
Control E, search region, combo box, command, go, 205, to change the selection, use the arrow.
And you notice that we're in that edit box again. So actually what I'm going to do is, I want to navigate to the channel called Step-by-Step Guides. So I'm going to go out of here, and I'm going to go Control and G.
Control G, search region, combo box, to change the selection, use the arrow key.
So, and I'm going to type in
S-T-E-P, suggestions updated, use down arrow to select.
So it's put in some suggestions, hopefully, that I can just navigate to.
Step-by-Step Guides.
So I just hit the down arrow, and it's telling me that the first result is the Step-by-Step Guides channel. Now I know that's the channel, and that's the channel I want to go to, so we'll just hit the enter key here again.
Enter. Step-by-Step Guides, left parent Teams, accessibility, right parent vertical bar, Microsoft Teams, main window page, search region, slash go, executed, taken, use the Step-by-Step Guides, dot, 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 sync complete, no new messages found, loading more messages, Step-by-Step Guides, left parent Teams, accessibility.
So you heard there, Jaws, give me the feedback to tell me that we have moved from the general channel to the Step-by-Step Guides channel here. So again, I'm just going to send a message to Jan. I'm going to go Control E.
Control E, search region, combo box, Teams.
Now, you don't have to do this. You can navigate. You can navigate with the headings key, or you can leave the. You can switch off the virtual cursor, and you could press the key letter C to compose a conversation. That's what it's called in Microsoft Teams. In this particular area, it's called a conversation. But I'm just going to tab out of here.
Signed into Sound, but
code. It tells me I'm signed into Sight and Sound again. I'm going to hit the E key.
Start a new conversation. Type at dimension someone. Enter. Teams accessibility. Step-by-step guide. Channel content. Main region. Start a new conversation. Type at dimension someone. Edit.
So it's asked me to start a new conversation. I hit the E key. I pressed enter. And the cursor dropped into the edit box. So again, I'm just going to hit the at key.
Add. 8 suggestions available. Stuart Lawler. Stuart.Lawler at Sight and Sound Technology.E108.
So what's happened now is I've hit the at key to mention somebody. And in particular, I'm going to mention Jan. And I'm going to send him a message. But what's happened in Teams is it has populated a list below the edit box, and all the members of this particular team are available to send a message to. So the first name you heard was our friend Stuart Lawler.
James Everson. James, not Everson,
James Everson. Everson. James has been doing a great job hosting this webinar so far.
Jan Blome, left there, and right there, and Blome at the
There's Jan Blome, and that's who I want to send a message to. So I'm going to hit the Enter key.
Enter, Jan Blome, left there, and right there, and selected.
So
and blank, blank.
The edit box now contains an at mention, or an at symbol, plus Jan's name. And I'll just confirm that by pressing Shift up arrow, or sorry, Insert Shift up arrow.
Jan, misspelled, Blome, left there, and right there.
Okay, so we know the edit cursor is now at the end of Jan's name. So I'm just going to hit space for sake of it, and I'm going to say
Jan. H-E-R-E, here, I-S-S-T-H-A-T-S-D-O-C-U-M-E-N-T document. I-W-A-S was C-C-G-O-I-N-G going T-O-2-S-E-N-D send Y-O-U-U space C-A-N-Y-O-I-I-G-A-K-E-T-A-L L. L-O-O-K.
Look, question mark. So that's the message. And what I want to do is I want to attach a file, because I've asked Jan if he can have a look at the file that I'm going to attach. So what we do again is we hit our tab key.
Menu, actions, menu, format. Press enter to expand the compose box and format your message. Press the right arrow for more options. Button to move from items. Press up or down
so
arrow.
As you can see, there's lots of options available to us here. We can format again the text if we want. If you want to make it bold or italic or whatever. Generally, I don't go anywhere near this because usually it's just quick messages you're sending. But what I am going to do is hit the right arrow.
Attach period. Use left and right arrow keys to navigate that button.
And you hear the attach button. So what I'm going to do here is simply attach a file.
Enter. By hitting step by enter. Left there in Teams accessibility, right there in vertical bar, Microsoft Teams document, leaving menus, menu, browse Teams and channels, 1 of 2, to move from items, press up or down arrow.
So it's asking me, do I want to browse a file in Teams and channels? No, I don't. I'm going to upload a file from my own desktop.
Upload from my computer, 2 of 2.
So upload from my computer, I'm going to hit enter.
Enter. Leaving menus, open dialog, file name, colon, combo box, file name, colon, edit, combo, to set the value, use the arrow key for type of value.
It's looking for the file name, and I'm going to find it. I know it's on my desktop, so I'm just going to go shift tab back to the tree view.
Explorer, not selected AI project ideas, tree view, desktop closed, 2 of 8.
I'm just going to open the desktop,
enter.
I'm going to tab over Shell to
folder
the
view, explore pane, folder.
Main area, and I'm going to type in ST.
USB drop, step-by-step guide, docs, 10 of 14.
And there's what I want, step-by-step guide, docs. So all I have to do is, this is now selected, I can hit enter.
US step-by-step guide, docs, 10 of 14.
There, yep.
Enter. Menu, upload from my computer, 2 of 2, to move from items, press up or down arrow, actions menu, attach, use left and right arrow keys to navigate, button, leaving menus, start a new conversation, type at dimension someone, edit, type and text, file step-by-step guide, docs, upload, complete.
So as you heard, the upload is complete, it has uploaded that file, so Jan will be able to see it, and what's going to happen is this file is going to populate in the folder that is associated with this channel, so Jan is going to show you later on how he navigates to this particular folder. And inside this folder, he will see this step-by-step guide amongst other files that are in there. The other
menu, press enter to cancel upload for file step-by-step guide.
Now, we don't want to cancel it.
Actions menu, format, press enter to expand the compose box and format.
Again, I'm just hitting tab again. We're back to that format option.
Send button.
And we're now on our send button. So I'm going to send that to Jan.
Enter. Sending dot dot dot. Leaving menus. Start a new conversation. Type back a message to someone. Edit. Type and text.
Making its way
message sent
to Jan, and he'll pick up that message in a moment. Just to tell you the differences between what I was saying about the chat area and the Teams area. In the Teams area, if you just begin to type a message within the conversation edit box, you are by default sending that message to everyone in your team. And if you decide that you want to specifically grab somebody's attention, you would put the at symbol, you would mention somebody, a bit similar to the way you would in Twitter. So you would at somebody, so you, in this case I typed in the symbol at and then typed in JAN and got the result for Jan Blom. But the message is still going to be seen by everyone in the team. It's only when you come back to the chat area itself that you are sending a private chat to, as I said, an individual or a group of individuals, but not necessarily everyone in the team. Now, depending on the way you have your system set up, you will get a note. You may get a notification via email to say that somebody has mentioned you in Microsoft Teams and will suggest to you that you go to Microsoft Teams and look at the message that has been sent to you, or you may choose not to have that option as you wish. So I think that's the Teams area. As I say, there are you can have as many channels and as many teams in here as you want, and you can navigate to the teams by using the up and down arrow. Or you can go into the search box, or sorry, the navigation box. You can hit Control G to go to a particular channel that you know the name of, and that will get you to that particular team very, very quickly. So what I'll do is I'll go back to see if Stuart got my chat, and I'll go Control 2. So I'll go back to the chat area.
Control 2. Stuart Lawler, vertical bar, Microsoft Teams, main window page, chat list navigation region, chat list preview, chat, Stuart Lawler, status unknown, you were mentioned, last message from Stuart, colon, Ioran, great to hear you, Ioran O'Neill, left parent, guest right parent, just try calling you on Teams, S, at 14.
So you heard there from Stuart, we didn't have to do anything. Jaws played out the most recent chat message, which was from Stuart again. But if I wanted to interrogate that, I could just go into, hit the enter key and navigate using the usual Jaws keys, up, down, control, left, control, right arrow, to navigate through that message if I wanted. And of course, I can reply to Stuart if I wish. The one last area I'm going to show you just within the kind of chat areas is the activity or the feed view.
Control 1, Stuart Lawler, vertical bar, Microsoft Teams document, Stuart Lawler, chat content, main region, message from Stuart Lawler, hi Orin.
Now, this activity view is really what I would term it to be, is it's really just a summary of what's happening within Teams. So you may be members, you may be a member of many teams in your organization, and rather than having to go back and forth to each channel and look at those messages, you could just come here to the activity or feed area within Teams, and here it will give you a list.
Profile picture of Stuart Lawler, 1441.
So it'll give you a list and a time. It'll tell you who's the most recent message, at what time it came in.
Toolbar with two-button length. Hi, Oren. Great to hear you. Hi, link at top of menu with Oren O'Neill, left parent, guest right parent.
Hear that? I'll down arrow again.
Just try calling you on Teams. Type a new message. Edit. Unlabeled zero button. Choose an emoji. Press enter key to choose a divvy.
It automatically wants me to send a message back to Stuart. But you can navigate down to the other messages that are in this activity area. And you can then decide you can read it here and you can reply to a message in here, or you can decide to go back to Control 3 and go back into the Teams area and maybe send a message to the group in general if you wish. As I say, I tend to use the virtual cursor, tend to use it mostly on, just because I'm only recently using JAWS 2020, and in JAWS 2018, which I was using before, the virtual cursor was on by default. It's off by default, of course, with JAWS 2020. But I use the virtual cursor on and off as I go along during my navigation within Teams. So I think that's enough for me. You're probably bored to tears now. And I'm going to hand over to Jan, but I'm just going to remind you that if you want to send in a message, you can use it by the chat channel in Teams, or you can send an email to msteams@sightandsound.co.uk, and if you have any questions later on, we'd be happy to answer them. So Jan, it's all over to you.
Okay, Oren.
Control 3.
Many thanks. And I don't know if everyone screen sharing toolbar.
We task can hear your Josh screen reader.
Yeah, you hear my Microsoft screen reader?
We can.
Okay, good. Then I will do the same check as you, Oren, with JAWS, insert T, which window I am.
Title is Microsoft Teams.
Yeah, Microsoft Teams. And indeed, I want to show you how to deal with files, because that is also, besides calling each other and chatting, it's also great to share files with each other and to collaborate with each other even on one document at the same time. Teams has a couple of ways to deal with this. One is inside Teams itself, but then you are working within a window that is it is accessible but not that usable, like Eric is also mentioning. One way we decided to do is to link it up with your OneDrive if you have installed that on your system. And I'm using Teams with my Office 365 account. And so I logged also on my OneDrive system with my Office 365 details. And then you have the ability to link each channel separately to your OneDrive. In this case, I'm also a guest member of this team accessibility group of Sight and Sound. There is a general folder, and also we have a step-by-step guide channel created. And to show you how to link a channel to your OneDrive account, I will do the following. I will go to the main area with Control 3.
Control 3. Step-by-step guides left paren Teams accessibility right paren vertical bar Microsoft Teams. Main window page. Teams and channels list navigation region. Teams and channels list tree view. Your Teams open. 2 of 3. Loading more messages.
So I'm now in the Teams. I will do the tab key.
Manage Teams button.
Then I manage Teams.
Region. Change settings. No. Teams and channels list.
I do arrow down.
Teams accessibility team. New messages. Favorited. Hit space for more options. Open has pop up. General channel.
This is the general channel. And then when I do arrow down.
Step-by-step guide
channel. Step-by-step guide. You could also have use the keystroke control G and then also go to the step-by-step. I press enter.
Enter. Teams accessibility team. Step-by-step guides channel. Teams accessibility, step-by-step guides channel content main region. Start a new conversation.
We can start a new conversation. I don't want to do that. If I press shift tab.
Threaded conversation with.
I land on all the threaded conversations who have been here in the past. So you can navigate with your up and down arrow keys through it. I've switched off the virtual focus. So I'm cursor. So I'm using the Microsoft Teams keystrokes. And I'm navigating to the tabs of this in this view, because we have now activated the host or the post tab, but I want to activate the file tab. So I press the shift tab again.
More options. Hit space or enter to open button. Team.
Shift tab again.
Post tab selected.
Ah, and this is the post tab. It is selected. I press arrow right.
Files tab.
Here
two
you
of
have
three.
The files tab. I press the enter key. And then it will take a little time, also depends on your internet connectivity, but I will press enter key.
Enter.
And then it will.
Step-by-step guide.docs. Docs file.
Get,
this item is new. Modify step-by-step.
You will get a message already. And then I will press the shift tab key, because now you need to go to the command bar button or the command bar. And there you need to navigate to the sync button. I will press shift tab.
Column headers, menu, Command bar. Use left and right arrow keys to navigate between menu items menu.
So I'm already at the command bar. I press arrow right.
Upload.
Here you have the upload button. So you can, just like Oren showed you previously, you can upload a file and it will land also in the channel just step by step.
Sync.
Here is the sync button. So we will use that later.
Copy link.
Here you can also use a copy link. So you can also copy or link files to this via your browser.
Download.
You can also download the files.
Add cloud storage.
Add cloud storage.
Open in SharePoint.
And like Eric said, also open in SharePoint. I will go to the sync button again.
Add cloud, download, copy link, sync, 3 of 8.
And I press the enter button. And then you will get the message that you have linked your channel to your OneDrive. And you only need to do it one time, and only the first time you do this, and then you can enjoy it later on for each session afterwards. I press the enter key.
Enter, leaving menus, modal dialog, close button.
And then we wait for the response of OneDrive. And that will take also a little while. And it should mention, by the way, that you are already signed to this link to this OneDrive. Now, there's no message.
Close button.
But I have a close button, and now that means that it is already synced, the link to this OneDrive. So I press the space bar.
Space, menu, command bar. Use left and right arrow keys to navigate. Copy, download, add cloud storage, download, copy link, sync. 3 of 8. Enter. Leaving menus. Modal dialog. Close button. Close button.
I pressed enter. All right. And when you have done that, then you press the window E key.
Windows E. File Explorer. Items View List Box. Items
and
View.
And then you press the Shift Tab.
Tree View. Level 0.
To go to the quick access list. And then I press the T. Because our group team is also with the letter team of team accessibility.
T, teams accessibility dash general closed.
Well, this is a general one and I don't want to go there. I press arrow down.
Teams accessibility dash Jan files closed.
And it was renamed to step by step, but it was firstly Jan files. So I press the enter key on this
enter.
One. It works just like you're in the, because you are in the Windows Explorer, so everyone knows how to work with this. I press the tab key again.
Items view multi-select list box. Not selected skim reading demonstration dot dot.
And this is a file I shared previously with my guys about in this channel, the skim reading.
Step by step guide dot
hey, dot. And this is the one of that Oren shared with me. I will press enter.
Enter.
On it.
0% complete. 0% complete. More details checkbox not checked. Opening dash word. Opening dash word.
And this is really, really beautiful because now when I'm opening this file, it is linking it up from the remote service. And I can edit it real time also with my co-authors. So if Oren was also opening this file or Stuart or James, any member of the team, and you were, for example, at the same line that you could that we were editing, for example, you hear that your co-author is also on the same line, and then you see the results instantly from each other. So this is really super in collaborating. The sighted world and the non-sighted world, they come really together in this way, and it is so accessible because you are using your local installed desktop app of Word. So that is perfect. It works also like with Excel and with PowerPoint. So that is really the super advantages. I will press the arrow down.
Blank. Step-by-step guide.
And this is the title.
Blank. Control plus F6 cycles through the elements / regions : Level 1 bullet main count bullet vertical toolbar i.e app bullet the horizontal
well,
bar i.e / forward
of,
plus
document
settings.
Of Oren. I will press insert T so you see in what app I am.
Title is step by step guide.docs-word. Print view.
And now I'm going back to Teams again with Alt Tab.
Teams accessibility dash Jan files. Teams accessibility dash Jan files. Items view multi-select list box.
And you see also now in Teams that you are there to be able to navigate through the through the files in this channel. I go back to the post, to the tab page.
Tree view, level 2, search box edit, toolbar up to, toolbar recent, toolbar back to, view modes, items view multi, step-by-step guide dot, tree view, left, search box, step-by-step guides left paren teams accessibility right paren vertical bar Microsoft Teams. Step-by-step guides left paren teams accessibility right paren vertical bar Microsoft Teams.
Now I'm in Teams.
Get the latest version, close button, get the latest version of, close button, space, close. Menu, command bar. Leaving menu, files tab selected.
Here's my files tab. I press shift or arrow left.
Post tab.
Is the post enter. Tab.
Start a new conversation.
And type I'm it to back in the post. If I want to go shift tab.
Threaded conversation with zero replies. From Oran O'Neill left paren guest right paren. At mention Jan Blom left paren guest right paren. Hi Jan, here is that document I was going to send you. Can Yai take a look?
Well, I've sent, I've taken a look.
Enter. Message from Oran O'Neill left paren guest right paren at mention. Reply button.
Reply.
Enter. Reply. Editing edit. TANKSPERYCH. Menu. Actions menu. Format. Press and send button. Enter. Sending dot dot dot. Leaving
and
menu.
And I've replied to Oran that I've seen the document. So
message
I've
sent.
Press the escape key.
Reply button. Escape. Threaded conversation with one replies.
And now you see the all threaded combinations. Well, this was my part about using files. It is really nice that you can do that with the connected OneDrive section, because that is just like any folder on your system. So you can copy paste also from your other files or drives on your system or even network. And then even if you have copied it into to your linked up OneDrive folder, it is automatically instantly with your teammates, and you can work on things together. Before I want to hand it over to James, because he will do the
control windows the, right arrow fly
discussion or how to do the producer things of Teams. I want to mention again that you can put your questions into the Q&A section, and also that you can send an email to msteams@sightandsound.co.uk, and then we can discuss those questions after the session. Well, thanks very much, James, and up to you.
Thanks, Jan. Everybody, I'm just right now, I'm leaving the Q&A panel on the screen for a few more seconds while I just sort out a couple of issues on my side of the side. So it's not as smooth and plain sailing as what we'd think. So just bear with me for 1 second so that you'd be able to see my screen. This is more of a visual aspect, and I may need help from Jan to reshare his screen at one stage. So just bear with me.
Have you put money in the meter, James?
So can everybody, well, hopefully everybody can see my screen. So what I see as a presenter is I am presented with two screens. The one on the left is for queuing my colleagues in or the presenters in, and the one on the right is the actual live event. So you queue the presenter in from their shared content or from their shared video, and you then send it to live, and you can keep following that through. So that's what we've been doing through, or that's what I've been doing throughout the course of this session. Now I can also show, there's two options. I can show the content on the left alongside the presenter's screen, or I can just show the presenter's content. I have the ability to end the live event, and I can also see how many attendees are actually attending. So in this case, we have 126. And I also get to see a lot of the attendees, but I can also stop sharing. I can mute everybody. I've got full access to all of the Q&A panes. There's a notes section that is shared between myself and the presenters. There's a small, very small chat area. And if we've got anybody in particular that comes in on the lobby, for instance, I can allow them, along with the presenters, allow them into the actual event itself. So that's all for the producer side of role. I'm now going to hand it back to the whole of the panel, and hopefully, Jan, you're going to share your screen. And then that way you will be able to see all of us being presented on the actual screen, ready for your Q&A, your questions and answers.
Okay, so thanks, James. And we're all live now with our mics on. And this is the part, I suppose, where we're going to deal with some of your questions. And there's been lots of questions coming in on the Q&A over the last hour or so and over email. I've tried to group some of these together. Some of them are very specific, and some, I suppose, we may struggle to answer. I suppose I should really say that we're all users. We've all been learning. This has been an interesting learning experience for us all, the presenters in this project. We've been working on this for about the last 6 weeks. And Teams is a very fluid service, I suppose, that keeps changing. So we've been learning as we go along as well. So I'm going to go through some of these questions. I'm going to ask maybe the panel here to jump in, if that's okay, guys. So let's start off with a message we got from Paul, who came in on email. And he says, one of the challenges I experienced in Teams is the sharing of files. He says, I'm using the latest version of JAWS in collaboration, and if I open files on the web, I don't receive enough. I don't receive enough information from JAWS. It often sends blank, even though I know there's text there. I'm able to see files in the desktop application, although recently I was working in a project where they were using live documents, and it became necessary to remove some of the protections as JAWS wouldn't read the content. He says, any thoughts? Do you think this is a JAWS issue? And I'm not sure if that's related to the sharing of files in a channel, kind of what Oren and Jan were doing. I don't know, guys, if that might be somewhat related.
Control shift M. Your microphone is muted. Control.
So there's definitely, I think it's to do with files in a channel that you can sync to a library, which is what Jan was talking about earlier.
That's what Jan was doing, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that seems to be the best way to get at that problem.
Yeah, and also with SharePoint, what Eric Demery said, but then your SharePoint should be organized in your organization. Mm-hmm. But it works the same like you do it then also with your, what I shown you with OneDrive.
Okay, thank you, Jan. We have a question here that says, does Microsoft Teams work with the BrailleNote Touch? So if there's an Android application, in theory anyway, you'll be able to install it. How accessible it is, we don't know. It's not something that we tested, but certainly, and that came in from Nora. Certainly, Nora, have a look and see how you get on with that.
The only bit I just cut across that one, Stuart, and I don't know if it has been fixed, but if it's an Android, there may be a problem with reading files within Android. There certainly was a bug a while ago, but it may have been fixed. So she might just want to be aware of that.
Okay, thanks for that, Oren. That's really useful. Chris says, actually, it's a good question. Is there a keystroke for answering calls? I didn't mention that in my piece. Apologies. I always get confused on this, so Oren will, I'm sure, jump in as well. So yeah, control shift.
There's kind of two ways. You get an option to either answer a video call or an audio call. So control shift S, oddly, is to answer a audio call, and control shift A will answer a video call.
Yeah,
which is a bit odd.
And also to add to like Eric said, they have a control period, control full stop. You will land on the help of Teams, and then you will when you press the T, then you will land automatically to the table where you can see all the keystrokes. I don't know, am I sharing my desktop now? I think so, eh?
You are, Jan, yes.
Yeah, if I do control period.
Virtual cursor on, dialog keyboard shortcuts, modal dialog, see shortcuts for all platforms link.
So then you hear automatically that your virtual cursor is switched on and that you are reading a table. So I press the T.
Wrapping to top, grid with two columns and seven rows, general. Column 1, row 1, show control period. Go to search. CTRL E. Show commands.
Show commands.
Open filter CTRL.
So you can use your table navigation keys and then with a control alt and then arrow keys to go through the table. But that works quite nicely. When you press escape.
Escape. Virtual cursor off.
Then you're back to the Teams environment and the virtual cursor is off again.
Yeah, very handy keystroke. And of course, because the Teams environment feels like a web page, isn't it? So you have that virtual cursor feel as well.
Yeah.
Okay, we have an email from Asif, and this is definitely one, I think, James, for you as the only sighted member of this panel. He says, hi there, I have MS Teams on my PC, but I don't find it very accessible. I downloaded it on my iPhone and found the accessibility much better, and we will come back and talk about this because there's a further question about that in a minute. However, I seem not to be able to change the background, to blur it out so that people cannot see the rubbish behind me. So he says, is there a way of changing the background, or do I just need to tidy up behind me? What do you think, James?
There is a way to actually do that. You need to go into the actual video settings. Now, as a producer, I can't go back to mine, so I'm going to try this on a different PC. So just going back to what Jan was saying previously, you can also do a control and slash. So whilst I'm setting up this PC, Jan, could you just quickly show that on the screen?
What, the help screen?
Yeah, the control and slash.
Control slash or the control period?
No, control slash.
Okay, control slash.
Control slash, search region, combo box, edit combo.
Yeah, a search region is that?
Yeah, and if you go through those options, these are basically commands that you can actually go to jump to certain options.
Enter the name of a channel or a team edit. Team slash channel, teams, send button, team profile, new chat button.
No, I don't see the control slash. Then I was showing the control period, James.
Okay, so... Yeah, and if you do
virtual
a control
cursor on
this one.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, and I'll explain what control slash does in it shortly.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're describing the virtual commands that you can navigate to, James.
Thank you, Ori. So going back to your video options, you do get the option to change the background. There are set images already in place. You've also got the option to blur. If I start a meeting now, just a private meeting for myself, when it comes to the video options, when you join an actual meeting, you get the more options option on the toolbar. When you go into that, you can go into the device settings. You can go down to show background of effects. And there you get presented with a short selection of options. One of them is no effects, but then you have a blur effect, one with a various different types of backgrounds. And you've got the ability to bring in your own photos or your own videos.
Mm-hmm. So the short answer is that he doesn't need to tidy up if he doesn't want to.
He can. No, he doesn't.
Okay. He should do.
Okay.
What happens with the blur effect is when you make some very fast movements, you do go out of that blur, but it does instantly come back in. And if you've got multiple people that walk behind you, they will come into that focus, but they will go back out. So you just have to bear that in mind.
Thank you very much, James. That's brilliant. Just got a question here from Mark, and it's a kind of, I'd be interested in anything that any of the panel want to say about this. Mark says, I deliver blended learning programs through KPMG for government departments. Since lockdown, all these courses are going online. I normally facilitate classes up to 15 learners. KPM's product for taking this learning online is Teams. As a partially sighted Zoom text user, I'm daunted at the idea of having to manage a virtual classroom of this number. How would I control the class by not being able to see visual cues? I think this is a kind of an interesting question because actually I think a lot of people, whether they have a vision impairment or not, are finding this a little bit daunting. Not being able to read cues and not being able to get a sense of what people are thinking at the moment. And certainly just my experience of it is that it's a different, you almost change your presenting style to a degree. It's a different way of engaging. It's not as interactive, I suppose, especially not in a teaching session. But I don't know if you guys have anything else you might like to add about that.
Well, for me and you, Stuart, when we've done different types of these webinars using different platforms, we've actually made sure that we've got a facilitator that could handle that those sort of cues that are coming in, or where people are actually raising their hands to grab your attention.
That's always a very good idea.
You definitely need somebody assisting you to actually do that. I mean, for us, it's been hard enough with all the questions that have been coming through and the different methods, because we've actually done a Q&A panel, but we've also done the email address. That's two additional areas that we brought pressure on ourselves to actually look after. But you definitely need more than one person to be able to manage that.
Definitely. Okay, so here's a few questions for coming in the Q&A. Kevin asks, how can a JAWS user engage in a verbal conversation whilst monitoring messages without JAWS cutting across what is being said? So I think there's a bit of an art to this over time, but yeah, I think you can suffer from information overload sometimes. I don't know if anyone wants to comment on that.
This, of course, is within Teams.
So I suppose if you're talking to someone on a Teams meeting and there's messages coming in the chat, it's about processing that, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think personally, I think if you're getting too many messages coming in, just mute JAWS for a while. If you're getting tired of listening to JAWS coming in all the time.
One of the things I've found helpful is having a different sound source sometimes for JAWS. So if you don't want it rooting through your headset, if you want to just focus on the conversation, but want to maybe be able to occasionally check with JAWS.
Yeah, and there's also some headsets you can get that are split. I know Steel makes some. I think it's called a Steel Arc, and you can assign JAWS to one ear, and you know, it's effectively like two sound cards, and you can have individual volumes for them for each ear. Maybe that's something to think about.
Yeah,
and also when using a Braille display with the focus, you can do insert spacebar and then the S for speech on demand. You know, that's also
to turn off this. Yeah, I find that very useful. Yeah. Rod,
and then also. Ducking the audio, Stuart, is also helpful. Then you can also more focus on the JAWS you are doing when you are need to do something while people are talking. That's also a nice feature.
Okay. Have
insert spacebar D.
Raj asks, Raj is just asking, how do I invite people and make calls from MS Teams? And that question was actually posed well over an hour ago. So Raj, I hope by now that was answered clearly, but if you have any queries, come back to us. Can Teams be accessed with NVDA as well as JAWS? We only tested with JAWS. So I'm not sure of the functionality with NVDA.
Okay. Stuart, there is a statement on Microsoft's website that say that they have tested it fully with JAWS and NVDA, but other screen readers may also work.
Okay. I presume
if I can comment or add, Stuart, when you want to meet or set up a meeting, when you are in the chat and you do a chat and do to everyone, for example, then what Oren said, with tab key, you come in the toolbar, and then there is also a Meet Now button. And if you click on that, then you meet with everyone. So everyone who is online is coming then. You can also invite other people then.
Yeah, it's a very handy feature.
Yeah.
Okay, Jan, this one is definitely for you, because I think actually I learned about this keystroke from you, but it's no harm to remind people about it again. Mm-hmm. Is there a list of the keyboard commands that can be used to move through and operate within Microsoft Teams? Do you want to give us that all-important command again?
The control period, I think.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yep. You win the car, Jan.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a message from Callum. When using Microsoft Teams on Windows, quite often when I open Teams, JAWS or NVDA will say absolutely nothing when navigating with tab and or the arrow keys, even though the screen looks fine for sighted users. Is this normal, and anything that can be done? And Jan or Oren, any thoughts there?
It certainly is a known bug. It should... our understanding, we did talk to Microsoft about this. The best solution, the quickest solution, is to press Windows up arrow to maximize your Teams application, and then Windows down arrow again. And you should then be able to move about within Teams. But I have to say they did an update. I got an update about three weeks ago, and that issue no longer happens with me. So yeah. Perhaps you're just waiting on a Teams update, and that issue should disappear. But it is was a known bug with Microsoft.
Yeah.
So Windows up arrow, Windows down arrow, and that'll get you back up and running.
Yeah, and I can confirm that I had it also previously, but now it's gone. So that's really nice.
I can confirm the same at this end as well. Yeah. Okay. Nikki Dixon asks, is there a shortcut key to raise your hand in Teams? I have read through the list of shortcuts online, but can't find it. I couldn't find it either, by the way.
No, I don't think it exists at the moment.
So, Nikki, one of the things we're going to do after today is feedback to Microsoft, and that's definitely one that we will be mentioning because none of us have been able to get that shortcut either.
Feedback. Stuart, it appears when you're in a meeting, it actually appears on the toolbar, and it's, you know, where you get the more actions that allow you to go into the video and see the background.
Yeah.
If you then cursor beyond that, you'll get the raise hand.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it is there, but there's no short key.
There's no shortcut for it.
Yeah. Message for Oren from your demo, Oren, and it was just in relation to when you were talking about sending files. Would you use the same method for sending a video? So you can send any type of file, I presume.
Yeah, you can send any type of file. So yeah, absolutely, you could do that for sending a video. Yeah, you can also, by the way, just attach links as well. If you copy a link from a website, you can also, you don't even need to attach it. You just paste it into the actual edit box, yeah. And the rest of your team will be able to click on that link, and it'll open.
Okay.
Or you can also do the copy paste there if you have it already somewhere else when to your LinkedIn linked OneDrive. Much faster.
The OneDrive thing is brilliant. Yeah. Okay. Message from David. He says, I keep getting asked to MS Teams meeting where the security is so locked down that most of the keystrokes and commands do not work. Can you explain anything about it? And I think that's a kind of a big question because it kind of depends, I guess, on the organization. Mm.
It depends on what your IT, the IT department have allowed, what permissions they have allowed.
Especially with the experiences that we've had of setting this up over the last 6 weeks, there are some cleared instructions which you can, which we're happy to post onto, which we've been able to go through to allow us to do this successfully. But yeah, we've had major problems. And not setting the right security, and certain things have to be released. So, if Stuart's got the details, we can send those on.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about Teams as well is that it's worth keeping in mind is the application is changing very, very frequently. And you know, it would be funny if you watch this back in 6 months because a lot of what we are saying today may not be as valid. You know, so it's just really interesting. Yeah. We got a comment from Phil on Q&A who just said, "I think we've gone off the deep end here without any overview or explanation about the way to use Teams, whether via the PC or a phone, whether via the web, via Teams app, via the web or the PC. What are the advantages or disadvantages?" And I think so. I just was going to ask people for a sec about the phone version versus the PC, because we really were, I suppose, in some ways limited in all the things we could test. We tried to test iOS and we tried to test, obviously, the PC app. And one of the things we did decide in relation to iOS was we would show the whole idea of creating a team because it's definitely easier on iOS. But Oren or Jan, have either of you guys used the iOS app to some degree, or do you find it useful for certain activities?
Who wants to go first?
I will. You have to go on.
Yeah. I use both. I actually use three kind of applications. When I'm not in work or not at the laptop, I'm using the application on my iOS device. And I find it great for going to where I went earlier on with the activity section, the feed section, just to check on, get a summary of what's happening, what messages are coming into me. I tend not to reply too much within the app to a message or create a message. Just because I'm a slow typer on the actual iPhone keyboard. So I tend to, if I've got a laptop in front of me, I'll use the desktop app. So I've downloaded the desktop app to my desktop. But I also, during the testing and the research for this webinar, what I found myself doing was using my desktop app for work, and using the Microsoft Teams browser for the Sight and Sound Teams. So it meant I didn't have to switch back and forth to this team that we're in now versus the teams that I would be involved in RTE. So I don't know if that helps your question. I think the app is great, and I think we were right to show how to create a team on the iOS app because it is easier. But I think you'll probably find yourself using the app on the phone and the desktop version. You won't kind of side with one or the other. Certainly, that's been my experience.
Yeah, anything well. You want to add? Yeah.
No, okay. No, mine as well. I prefer also typing on your keyboard, and when you're already logged on to your laptop with yours, then it is an easy task. And sometimes, when you're on the way, on the go, then because in the alert screen, you all see the messages coming up, and then, hey, you want to read more carefully on your PC, but that's possible.
Okay, a question for Oren, and this is kind of linked, there's a couple of questions linked to this. A few people have been asking, but a gentleman called Brian asked, Oren, were you using any custom scripts in your demo? And there were some other queries about any third-party scripts, and do we use them? So we don't.
We don't. We're deliberately not using any third-party scripts because as we are researching this and preparing for this webinar, we wanted to see how accessible Teams was overall, and we didn't want to be influenced by any scripts that have been written. Of course, there are scripts that have been written, but I don't know if I'm right to speak for the team, but I'll certainly speak personally. I think while the scripts are good, I think our purpose of this as well, of this webinar, was to show you how we use Teams and how you can best navigate around it. But it was also to work out what kind of bugs, what kind of issues there are, and to send that information on to Microsoft to let them know if the application could be navigated in an easier way when using a screen reader. So we didn't want to be influenced by third-party scripts for that particular reason.
Yeah, and I would fully agree with that. And I think we're really trying to see what the experience is like out of the box with JAWS. And Jan, I don't know if you want to say anything in relation to JAWS and what work you guys have done.
Like Eric also stated, it is unfortunate he is not here presently, but I can confirm it is really an high priority at this moment. Teams, you see that more and more companies are start to use it and move away from Skype for Business in that way, perspective. And it is a dynamic environment. And from both sides, Microsoft and Vispero, they're working hard on it to in each update, they will find something and they will address it. And it's getting more and more widely used also by users, so that also JAWS users. So it's, information is getting there. So now also Microsoft will act on that. You see that already with the resize bug, that you need to do Windows up, Windows down. And I foresee also in the near future that you have a short key for hang up, etc. It will come. That is for sure.
Yeah,
I think as users, you need to give that feedback back to Microsoft. The disability desk in particular. It's easy enough to report an issue or just get in contact with them and tell them you're having an issue, and they will note it and look at it at a future date.
And also, I think it's important to say that our work as this project team is not finished today. Like, we're going to go back to Microsoft. We're going to have a chat with them, and we want to kind of continue this conversation and this Teams accessibility, because we believe it's a really useful app, and never so much, I suppose, it's particularly during COVID, more and more people are using it. So in some ways, we're only starting this process, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think we can invite also listeners now to send their feedback to the email address.
MSTeams@sightandsound.co.uk will stay live. So please continue to send in feedback, because it will be very useful for us. Now, interesting question, which might also be for another day. It all seems very accessible on Windows and iPhone, but how accessible is Microsoft Teams on Mac OS, Chromebooks, and Android? Wow, haven't used a Chromebook in a while. So I don't know, I don't think any of us have really explored that.
Okay. No, we've no.
No.
That helpful keystroke that Jan had given, it's obviously command and full stop to obtain the same list with inside Teams on a Mac. And likewise, if you're doing Control Shift and S, or Control Shift and A, then it's command Shift and the same. So I assume it's very similar, but I'd need to test it out fully.
I think you've just been volunteered, James, as our resident Mac guy. If we do this again, you're on for that. Okay. Interesting query here. MS Teams offers live subtitles. Is it possible to read these using JAWS on a PC or VoiceOver on an iPhone?
Not to my knowledge, no.
I looked at it.
Not to my knowledge.
And somebody says, how do you navigate to your Teams voicemails? This may have come in actually before the piece on calling. So there's a voicemails tab, and if there are voicemails there, you can press enter and they appear in a table, just like the call history table. Is there a limit to the size of files you can attach in Teams conversations? I don't know if you guys have come across anything around this.
No.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
So it all depends where you're actually, or how you're actually attaching the files. There is a complete list on Microsoft's website. It's if you do a search on their website for limits and specifications for Microsoft Teams, you will have everything on there, and it will even tell you from the very basic of Teams accounts to the more so like my account or my organization's account is an E3 account, so we obviously get more space and more storage. But there is a limit. There's also a limit to the amount of attachments you can add to that session. So you get to a maximum of 10. You can't send any more after that. You then have to then send another 10, and you keep doing it in blocks of 10s. But it really all depends on the file size.
Okay, and interesting question that came in relation to editing documents, and Jan, I suppose this is what you were talking about with the files, and did you can open a file, a number of people can edit interactively. Is that supported, the query asks, if somebody is opening a document on Windows and someone else is editing on an iPad?
It's
not something we tested, although
no.
It shouldn't be any different. Yeah, feeling is it should be.
Going through SharePoint.
My feeling is it should be, yeah.
Yeah.
So again, that's not something that we looked at, but it could be interesting. Edward Bates, who's a frequent Webinar Wednesday attendee, a good friend of Sight and Sound, asks, can you only attach Microsoft files to a chat, or could you attach other things like MP3 files, for example?
Yes, you can. You can attach,
MP3
files. Yeah, you can. Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah, me too.
And a message from Theo Holroyd of Tactile Times fame. Great guy. Theo asks, can you share your screen on Windows? You see you can, Theo, which is really useful. You can share your screen reader as well, which is always useful.
And that just, I think it's worth pointing out as well, Stuart, that is only new, being able to share the audio from your own PC. That's only new, and that's something I think, in fairness to us, that we raised the question about to Microsoft, and that has been fixed implemented in the time that we've been talking to Microsoft. So it just shows that they are making improvements fairly rapidly.
That's a really good point, actually. They do listen, and they are really making those changes. An email here from Michael who says, thank you for the webinar. I'm an absolute beginner, but a regular user of Zoom. My impression is that Teams is much more a system for professional organizations than we humble amateur users. I think the audio quality has been very good. And I think this is something that certainly Oren and I have talked about at length, the audio quality of Teams in comparison to Zoom. I certainly think it's better.
Absolutely. And Microsoft have done an awful lot of work on the audio quality for Teams. Give it a go.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Cassidy also says, I'm using a MacBook at present and can't reach the help list with the command and slash key. Oh dear. So we might feed that back to Microsoft and see, can we find out what's going on? Because I'm not sure about that.
I think you need to do the command period key, what James was saying, for the help.
But yes, it should be, yeah.
Not command slash, but command period.
Command period, because it'd be control period if you wanted the keystrokes on Windows.
Here's an interesting question from Matthew. What's the best way to simulate breakout rooms like the one in Zoom? I know there's no exact equivalence, but I've heard various ideas on how you can approximate with breakout rooms. And it's not something that we have looked at. And I'm kind of thinking there would almost be sub-meetings for that to happen. I don't know if Teams has that facility. Unless you could create a channel maybe with a room.
Yeah, I mean, you could have multiple channels. So I assume that within that channel, you could have multiple breakouts. So that would be one way of doing it, yes.
Should be able to, yeah.
Yeah, you can also do a pop-up chat, you know, and then when you're in a pop-up chat, that appears also in a separate window. And then you can do chatting with each other, but you can also do a meet now. Yeah, in that toolbar. So that is different then. Okay. But how it works when you're on the same time, I think, that's what I don't know.
Okay. I'm just looking here through the Q&A. I think we have dealt with everything. If there is anything else people can publish, can put a Q&A or can send an email to msteams@sightandsound.co.uk. And that email address remains available. So if you want to send us feedback as we continue, I think as this is only the start in some respects, as we continue, you can send an email to msteams@sightandsound.co.uk. I want to go maybe back to the panel and anything that anyone else wants to say. We've covered an awful lot today, and in some ways we've come away with lots of other queries and things that we're going to follow up. But for people who want to sort of use Teams, Oren and Jan and James, I guess the sort of stuff that we've covered today should get them started pretty well, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Yes, I fully agree.
Yeah.
And it's really work in progress. So I think you see really improvements coming up soon from both ends, from Microsoft and from Jaws side. So that's really, the integration is getting better and better.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's about it. We have got to the end of the big email inbox, and thanks to everyone for your emails. Thanks to the huge amount of engagement on the Q&A. We didn't ask every question that came in, but that's because I tried to group some of the questions together. So I hope every issue was dealt with. But you can continue to get in touch with us if you'd like to talk about Microsoft Teams. So I'll hand back over to James, I think.
I want Gad.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, and hopefully you'll tune in for our next Wednesday webinar next week. Goodbye for now.